Pastor Matt. Hey, Crystal, we're an integral part. We are an integral part. I'm excited about that. Well, many of you don't know me or my family, and so I thought I would take some time to first introduce us, share a little bit about our story, and kind of get you up to speed to now, where we are, what we're up to. So my story starts when, no, it starts, I was going to start somewhere, but I need to start further back. It starts with my mother, who was born and raised in Japan. She was part of a Buddhist family, and somehow she got to know Jesus when she was a teenager, and she told us as kids about this faith and planted some seeds in us as we grew and started bringing us to church. And it was in high school that I went away with a couple of teenagers in a van to a place I'd never been and experienced things that I had never experienced, sung a lot of songs, had a lot of fun, and I felt like that summer, God changed me. So I had this moment of change in my life. I came back. I knew I was different from that experience. This was in between my sophomore and junior year. And I remember the things that were different about junior year. I felt more confident to talk to people. I became a little more outgoing. So this personality that you might see today, who you know me as, that's who I became. Before that, I was a little more reserved. I was timid to be out in front of anybody. Of course, what teenager wants to stand in front of people or talk to them? But a change happened, and I didn't know what that was going to look like or what was happening in my life, but I just knew, God, whatever you have for me, that's what I want. That's where I want to go. And my youth pastor had a lot of influence on my life, so I went back to that same place the next summer, and I thought, this guy, this is his job. Like, he gets to do this as a career and help people like me, a high schooler, experience this life change, experience something that I didn't really know about until I met these young people and met him. And so I felt, maybe the Lord wants me to do this. Lord, I think I want to do this. Okay, I'm going to do this. How do I do this? You know, how do I go about going in that direction? So I pursued a degree at a Bible college at Liberty University. I thought, let's go to a Christian school, right, where I'm going to learn the Bible. And I chose that school because they had a marching band, and I was in the marching band. The school that my church really wanted me to go to didn't have one, so I needed a marching band. And it's really good that I went to marching band, because that's where I met my wife, Crystal. I played the saxophone, she played the flute and the piccolo. And the story goes that she tells, I don't remember all the details, but she knows them a lot better, is we both needed to exchange our jackets because they didn't fit right. And so that's kind of how we bonded. Like, hey, your jacket's too big, mine's too small. Here you go. And I just threw little flirts here and there until I captured her heart forever. So the two of us got to know each other through college. Every summer we worked at a summer camp in Silver Spring, Maryland, and that's where I began working in youth ministry with fifth graders and then sixth graders, and then I kept moving up in each summer until I became a program manager. And after college, we both worked at that camp full time. So since I was 18, I've been working with young people, fifth grade all the way up to college students, and started that full-time job in youth ministry. And I thought, this is exactly what I need to be doing. I'm loving it. Got married to Crystal, had a baby, and that's our first child, Olivia. A year into having our first child, we had to make a decision. Do we want to put our child in daycare? The church / camp had a daycare, and we could both work and walk a couple of doors away to visit our daughter, and Crystal would walk that walk before it happened to check it out, and she just felt in her heart that's not what she wanted to do. So she stayed home with Olivia, which meant our two salaries that were not that much were cut in half, and we kind of had to scramble, like, what are we going to do now? We really want to be here. We really want to be doing this. So we tried to make that work for, like, almost another year, and we ended up moving back to this area. So that was in Silver Spring. We moved back to the Tidewater area. This is where my family is from most of my life, and I helped out a little church for a while, became a carpenter's apprentice, and did that, but that was kind of tough, too. I wasn't making enough there. I tried applying for some jobs at churches for full-time, and I found one. And so for almost 7 years, I worked as a youth pastor, working with middle school, high school students, and it wasn't part of my job description, but I wanted to hang out with the college students. I felt bad when they left and didn't have anybody to hang out with, so I was like, you can hang out with me, and we'll do something. And so God changed my life. He gave me a purpose and a job to do. I followed that job until it was done. When that job finished, I took on another role as a worship leader. And 6 months later, the pandemic hit. So that's where that story is going to pause. That's my story. And I want to share another story that has a couple of pictures. I've got this chain. I've got this really cool beach chair. And I've got these candles. These pictures are going to help me tell the rest of this story. So the chain. Chains represent a lot of things to a lot of people. One of the most powerful things I think a chain represents is slavery, bondage, holding somebody from achieving something that God wants them to achieve. And this slavery can look like a lot of different things. One thing that I want to equate it to is... I'm trying to think how I want to say that. It's the things that we pursue that will hold us down from doing everything God wants us to do. It's the things that we pursue, maybe even as a nation, that we don't know is holding us down. And I saw this line from a song, a popular song, that I wanted to sum up this thought. And some of you might know the movie. All the shine of 1,000 spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough, never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it'll never be enough, never be enough. I feel like our culture tells us to pursue more, to get more, to have more, to do more, but it won't be enough. To get more, to have maybe that job, or that house, or that car, or even that relationship. And I think because of that, we get some negative results. We have a lot of people addicted to our screens, to social media. We have the most anxiety and depression that has ever been, like, documented, I would say. Greed and corruption tearing at the fabric of society. We're the most connected that we've ever been, yet we're the loneliest. And this culture, these chains have permeated the church, sadly. I'm not going to say this one. I haven't been there that long to know all of the culture of this place, but what I've seen and experienced, I love. But some of these chains can enter any church community. And we as a church, we want to do more. We want to reach more. We want to build God's kingdom. We want to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to make an impact. And sometimes those big words start creating these chains that God didn't want for us. We want to do more, achieve more, work, work, work. We're becoming slaves to a work ethic and ideologies that are contrary to the kingdom of God. If you don't believe me, read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is his most foundational teaching that he gives us on how we should live. Do we look like this? Do we look like Matthew 5, 6, and 7? In 2020, when the pandemic hit, God brought me back to the beginning of his story. He taught me how to trust the story, and he wants me to partner with him in the work that he is doing around the world, but I have to do it his way. And he is looking for partners who will follow him. Jesus calls his disciples and says, follow me. He will do something in the world, and he is inviting us. I began listening to a couple podcasts, reading some books, and reading the Bible. And I want to share with you all the beginning of his story and maybe have us take another look at it. Before we get to that, though, some things that I learned about God's Word. I learned that I think all of the authors, most of the authors, a couple of Gentile authors, but they were all Jewish. Yeah, they were Jewish, and they were part of this worldview that saw the world in a certain way. And they had a Jewish culture, and they had stories, and they had phrases, and they said things in their Jewish way, just like we are Americans and we say things in an American way. And people back then wouldn't understand our phrases, and they have phrases that we don't understand. So I began learning this culture that's all throughout the scripture. And I also learned about some of the different ways that they would write things in the Bible, different literary tools, and some of the scripture is prophetic, some of the scripture is poetic, some of the scripture is historic. And I'm pretty sure I learned a lot of that in college, but you know how that goes. When you learn things in college, they don't always stick. So I'm not going to say college didn't teach me that, but I can't say that it did, because I don't remember. And so the Jewish mindset is Eastern. If I'm standing here, north, Eastern. And our mindset is Western. This is from my perspective, north, south, east. Am I doing that right? Okay. So our mindset is more logical, ordered arguments. Pastor Matt asked me if I had 3 points for the sermon. I don't, but I have 3 pictures, and I'm using one. This is the chain. The Eastern mindset is more experiential, story-driven pictures, and a sense of discovery. You're finding out something from the text that you didn't know before. And so that is kind of implanted into what I'm learning about God's story. And in the beginning, God's story was given to a people who were in chains. This is where the chains come in for the story. God's people were in chains, and he rescued them. He removed those chains, he removed that bondage, and he brought them into the wilderness. He took them out of Egypt. And here in the wilderness, he gives them his story. He tells them, in the beginning, it was him he created. So his people were slaves, and slaves work a lot. They don't have a union. They don't get benefits. They probably work, would you guys agree, 6 to 7 days a week? Probably 7? Maybe they got a day off. I would give my slaves a day off because they'd work harder if they got rest. But they probably worked 7 days. And What do y'all think they were making in Egypt? Bricks, yes. They were making bricks. Every day they were making bricks for these pyramids. And as a brick maker, your worth and your value depends on how many bricks. Yeah, how many bricks you make. So if you don't make a lot of bricks, you're not a very good brick-making slave. But if you make a lot of bricks, you're a great brick-making slave. And so every day, making bricks, day in, day out, bricks, bricks, bricks. Well, God had to get them away from that and to become his people, to show them a new way. Let's go to the scripture, Genesis 1, and I'm just going to read this chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that will bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And so it was. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath in it, the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. That was the story that he handed to these slaves who came out of Egypt, out of the brick making, and into the wilderness to follow God. This story, something that I learned about it from this podcast. This podcast I'm listening to is called the Bema Discipleship Podcast. And they walk through the whole of Scripture and give commentary and teach. And it's been fantastic for me, just hearing through the whole Word of God. And he talks about this section of Scripture as a poem. And he gave a word. The word is chiasm. I don't know if they were able to do anything with a slide or show. If not, that's perfectly fine, because they told me it was kind of a weird... Oh, there we go. Can we go to the next one? Next one? Next one? Here we go. So a chiasm was used in Jewish literature to point you to the treasure. We've got these shapes, and it takes the shapes of different lines corresponding to other lines in the piece of work. If we go back a slide, we've got day 1, 2, and 3 corresponding with 4, 5, and 6, light, darkness, water, sky, land, and seas. God is separating these things. Then day 4, he fills day 1, the light and the darkness. Day 2 is filled with the fish and the birds. That's day 5. And then day 3, land and the seas are filled with animals and the humans. And then day 7, he rested. So go to the next slide, please. This shape where you have ABCD, DCBA, or ABCD, ABCD, the corresponding lines, and the middle pointing you to the treasure in the story. And in the middle of this chiasm is day 4, starts with verse 14, and let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And that word seasons is the center, and let's go to the next slide. And that word in Hebrew, oh yeah, that's just to show you where the treasure is. The words. Next slide. Moad. Moad is the Hebrew word for seasons, special times, and Sabbath. Sabbath or Shabbat. And this takes me to the next place in my overall story, this chair. I found this chair on the side of the road. I love finding things on the side of the road. I'm a raccoon. And when I got this chair, I had to test it. What's the first thing you do in a chair? You sit in it, and it's so comfortable. It's the perfect beach chair, and it does this. Oh, even better. I love this chair. I take it to the beach. I just sit, put my feet in the sand. I made these cup holders on the side, because you got to have a place for your drink when you're sitting in the beach. So this chair, God gave me this chair. Did he give me? I don't know. I mean, it was on the side of the road. I want to say God gave me that chair. It's a special chair, and it reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me to rest. It reminds me to take a break, and it reminds me that he loves me. Man, a chair can remind you that you are loved. I'll take that. So God told these people who came out of slavery, they had the chains on, they were making bricks. They thought their life's value was based on how many bricks they make, and God said, you need to stop, and you need to know this. You need to take a break and be reminded that your value and your worth does not come from what you produce, but from who you are and who I say you are. And that's what happens when we rest, when we take Sabbath. God is telling us, I love you, and I love you just the way you are, and I want you to enjoy all of this with me. Because that's what he did on the seventh day. He didn't get tired. Come on. God can't get tired. He's limitless in his power. No, what happened was he created a masterpiece, and he wanted to step back, and he wanted to enjoy that masterpiece. Anybody in here ever build a really, really, really big Lego set? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. After you build that Lego set, you want to play with it. You want to take all the pieces, and I used to make Lego sets when I was a kid. Now my kids get to play with the Legos. But that's what God did. He put this thing together, and he just enjoyed it. And I feel like we spend so much time not enjoying this place. And God tells us, you get to enjoy it. Actually, I'm giving you a day every week to enjoy it. If you all go back and read God's instructions on how to rest, I wish I could have that. And I'm trying to make my life like that. But he gives them these celebrations, like I think 5 or 6 weeks out of the year, you do nothing for a whole week. Just have fun with your community and family and relax. How many weeks do Americans get? 2, maybe. If you're hourly, you don't get any, okay? You got to save up for that. God says take all these weeks off. And then there's a Sabbath year. Every 7 years, take a year of rest, or maybe every 6 years. I can't remember exactly what it is. But every 7 years, there's a year of rest. A year off? Have y'all ever had a year off? No. And then every 49 years, there's the Jubilee, the 50th year. A whole year, you're off. And all your debt is gone. I wish. Oh, my gosh. I wish. All debt is just erased. And so it was at the pandemic that God told me, you need to rest. I had been working in that church for 6 months, and I really felt I needed to rest. Easter Sunday, my wife and I helped produce an almost 2-hour video, because all the churches were going to video. And so you weren't meeting in person. We made a production. We recorded 2 music videos, basically live music videos with professional video and sound, a sermon with 4 different camera angles, and 2 baptisms, and the announcements, and all these different things, and the things for the kids program. Put it all together. Midnight, it finished uploading. Less than 8 hours later, it was premiering for the world. I mean, a small part of the world, but it could have been the whole world. And that morning, I was like, Crystal, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And I quit. I said, I can't do this. I need a rest. And I took a break from doing that. I sat in my chair, and I began working with my hands. Throughout a lot of my life, God had gifted me with the ability to fix things. And so I thought, let me go try to fix stuff and make a living. So I started a business, repairing homes, remodeling homes. And my wife and I had the crazy idea to build a tiny house. So we built a little glamping wagon, that's what we're calling it. And we decided to try to make that a business. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm not a tent maker, I'm a tiny house maker. I began to practice Sabbath. Every Friday night, I would get my family together, and we would have a little tradition, a little ritual, and that's where these candles come in. We would light 3 candles. Now, I know the Jews like to light candles. I can't remember exactly why they do or what words they use. I remember some of them, but I decided I want 3. And I light these 3 candles with my kids just before we eat. And the first candle represents what God has done, the past, what we remember. And I know that's one of the words they use. The Jews use remember. Remember that we came out of slavery. Remember that God rescued us. And I talk to the kids and say, what did God do in our lives? What do we remember? Or what great things have we done? Or what have happened to us? This one is what's happening right now, the present. And I tell the kids, what do we need to work on for our obedience? Like, what are we struggling with in terms of obeying mom and dad or anyone that is in authority over us or even each other? How can we improve right now? Or what is God telling us how we need to obey? And then the third candle is, what are we looking forward to in the future? Maybe what are we looking forward to in Sabbath on our day with no work, or what's going to happen in the future, anything that's coming up. And we end our time together, and we do this little prayer, right, kids? We rest, we play, we don't work. God loves us. Amen. That's what we say. We rest, we play, we don't work. God loves us. I tell the kids they don't have to do chores. They just need to make clean up the messes they make. So if you don't make any messes on our day off, you don't have to clean. That doesn't really work. And some of the things that I do, I rearrange my schedule so that all my jobs are finished before this day, so I can have all of Saturday off. I keep my phone in my office because I don't want people to bother me on my day off. My mom can reach Crystal on her phone if she needs to get me. And I've been able to live a less anxious life. I have been able to focus on what God wants for us. And I've really enjoyed taking a day off. God is giving you all permission to take a whole day off every week. And then my Sabbath ends Sunday after worship. So I have a long Sabbath. Friday night all the way to Sunday morning after we come here. And I love that. I don't even bring my phone on Sunday morning. It just feels so great. I'm so light. I have it right now. It's weighing me down. But I wanted to encourage you all with that. Rest. Take some time to sit in the chair, because God tells us that we can. God tells us that we need to. He doesn't tell us that we have to rest. He's not holding it over us, but he's telling us that we get to rest, and it is a gift. Jesus said that man was not created for Sabbath, but Sabbath was created for man as a gift, and he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he is teaching me how to enjoy this time off, and he's going to teach you all how to enjoy that rest. After the pandemic, after I quit working in that church, I took a whole year off of ministry. I didn't volunteer at all. Well, actually, I volunteered with Young Life, but that was very minimal. It was just hanging out. But then we came here, and VBS was like my first thrown in, and that was crazy. You guys, VBS is awesome, and it wore us out for that week. But thank you. Thank you for hearing the word that God wanted me to bring, to be reminded that these chains can be removed and we can keep them off. And part of how we do that is we rest in the chair and we rest in him, knowing that we are valued, that we are enough, he is enough, and that we can trust his story. So I wrote a chiasm just before I came here, and it's how I'm going to end in prayer. When I was a younger man, God changed my life. He gave me a purpose and a job to do. I followed until that job was done. Then I rested. I continued to follow Jesus to a new job. He continues to fuel me with purpose and a new plan. He is changing me with each new season. Lord Jesus, thank you for the words that you share with me, with the words that you share with everyone here, and how you meet us. You meet us wherever we are, in whatever situation, and you speak to us, and you change us, and you change those around us. And maybe you use some of us to change others. I thank you for the word that you gave us, your Bible, and how those words change us. I pray that everyone here would begin to incorporate rest into their schedules, and that they would write it on their calendars. This is a day I'm going to do nothing, And I'm going to remember how you love me. And you told me I can have this day to enjoy creation, enjoy everything around me. And from there, our hearts would be filled, our lives would be changed, and we would begin this work that you're doing in the world, and we would partner with you, fueled up, ready to go, filled up, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.